thankful for this morning, and especially to be gathered with you on Resurrection Sunday. And as we begin our time going through this text, I want to start with a question. The question is simply, what difference would it make in your life if you truly lived as though you are already raised with Christ? What difference would that make? In 2020, the state of Oregon went searching for a lady by the name of Kathy Boone. They were searching for her because they wanted to inform her of an unclaimed inheritance that was due unto her in excess of $900,000. Unfortunately, the emails, the Facebook messages, newspaper advertisements, and even the hiring of a private investigator all failed to track Kathy's whereabouts. Despite all the efforts they made to inform her of her inheritance, Kathy remained unaware of her fortune. Tragically, she continued living in homelessness, and she passed away while living in a homeless shelter, never knowing the wealth that was rightfully hers. I share that story with you because I think this sad story mirrors the spiritual reality of many that are experiencing today. Through the resurrection of Jesus, believers are granted immeasurable riches in Christ Jesus. We have a new identity, we have a new life, we have a new focus, we have a new hope, and yet without awareness or an understanding of these riches, one might continue to live spiritually impoverished, unaware of the great wealth that is available to them in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Resurrection Sunday is not just about celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago. It's about also understanding what is happening to us right here and right now. Paul's words in Colossians chapter 3 reminds us that because Christ is raised, those that have their faith in Christ have been raised with him. And that reality should transform how we live our lives. So as we dig into our text this morning, let us explore how to recognize and embrace the spiritual inheritance that transforms our lives. And so we begin, first of all, by seeing our new position in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are raised with him. Look at verse number 1. Verse 1 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, don't let that word if confuse you here. Paul is not talking about an uncertainty. No, he's talking about certainty. He is talking with confidence. I'm reading from the New American Standard, but if you had another translation, one like the NIV or the New Living Translation, I think they more accurately captures the essence of this verse, because that translation renders it, therefore, since you have been raised with Christ. See, Paul's language points to a completed reality. If you have faith in Jesus, then you've already been raised with him. And so the resurrection is not just a past occurrence. It's not just a future hope. The resurrection is a present reality. In Christ, we are united with him in death and his resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4 says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ rose, we rose with him. And so this beautiful reality is expressed in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Verse 6 says, "And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So the reality is we are no longer spiritually dead. We are alive to God in Christ Jesus. And because we live in him, we have been empowered by his Spirit to pursue and to walk in righteousness. Listen to how Paul captures this in his prayer to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Brothers and sisters, may you know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available unto us right now. Therefore, let me ask you to consider, are you living from a place of spiritual victory, or are you living in spiritual defeat? My encouragement for you this morning is that you would stop striving for acceptance. You see, your acceptance is secured through the resurrection of Jesus and your faith in him. That's why you're not fighting for victory. In Christ, you are fighting from victory. So in Christ, we have also a new focus. Look back at verse number 1. He says, "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ," he says, "keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." So Paul calls us to a new focus that should be shaped by the reality of the resurrection. The verb that he uses here, it says, "keep seeking." This is in the present imperative. So what does that mean? That means that this is an ongoing action. This is not a one-time event or a one-time occurrence. This is something that we're to be continually doing in our lives. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. He says, "But seek first." He's saying, but seek and keep on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So may you know that as children of God, our focus ought to be no longer on ourselves, because we've been called to actively pursue Christ and his kingdom. Presently, we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. This is a position of power. It is a position of authority. And so when we align our focus with Christ, we are aligned with eternal realities. May you notice the contrast that exists. The world tells us to pursue comfort, status, recognition, security. But the resurrection calls us to pursue holiness, the mission of God, to chase after kingdom values. And so we ought to ask ourselves, what is it that occupies our mind? Or maybe a better way to ask it is, what is it that consumes our time? What consumes your time? Is it chasing after your career? Is your mind and your time focused on financial security? Is it focused on your relationships? Is it focused upon your physical health or limitations? May you know that living the resurrected life means aligning our thoughts and our goals with the rule and reign of Christ. Therefore, don't settle for temporary pleasures when you've been raised for eternal glory. If Jesus is your king, then your priorities should reflect his kingdom, not yours. In Christ, we also have a new identity, and that new identity is that we are hidden with him. Look at verse 3. It says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And so a question for us to consider would be very simply, in what sense has the believer died if we are continuing to live? What is he saying that you have died? Well, in the sense that the penalty for our sin has been paid. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, right? And so since we're all guilty of sin, every single one of us, right? By submitting and surrendering our lives unto Jesus, we died the required death in him. Our penalty has been paid by Jesus, right? So that means that sin can never claim us again. That means that death has no victory over us in Christ. Because our sin has been atoned for by what Jesus offered at Calvary. So in Christ, we have already paid our penalty. We are dead to sin. The penalty has been paid. Now, that doesn't mean that in this life we won't struggle with both the presence and the power of sin. Sin is still around. Its presence and its power still affects us today. But may you know that sin cannot condemn us. Death will not defeat us in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us that because we've died and because we've been raised with Christ, our new life is now hidden in him. Ever thought about what does that mean? What is that saying? To be hidden in Christ means that God counts the believer hidden in the resurrection and life of Christ. It means that God counts the believer as risen with Christ. More specifically, it means that God counts the believer as risen to a new life, to a new identity in Christ. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. He says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." May you never forget that your identity is not based upon your job. It's not based upon your performance, your reputation, your social status. No, it's based on Christ. Now that you are in Christ, you should live out his life. You should seek his fullness being displayed in and through all that we do and all that we say. So that means that we need to stop defining ourselves by what the world says. We need to define ourselves by who we are in Christ. In Christ, we should let the security of our identity in Christ give us peace and confidence as we walk in this life. You are not defined by your past mistakes. You turn over all of that unto the Savior. You receive His forgiveness, and in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Let the identity of that new identity in Christ give you encouragement to walk and to pursue what God has for you in this life. Number four, in Christ, we also have a new hope. That new hope is revealed with Christ. Look at verse number four. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. See, the past life of a believer comes to an end when they have died with Christ. Now, the only life that we have is in Christ. So much so that Paul says that Christ is their life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, Paul makes this radical claim that this new life is nothing short of a new creation. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Isn't that a beautiful reality for us to embrace and understand this morning? We should be encouraged. All those that belong to God by faith in Jesus ought to find great encouragement in this reality. The fact is, death has no power over us. The risen and exalted Lord has conquered death. And may you know that we don't wait for eternal life. No, eternal life is ours now. In Christ, we are in eternal life. The simplest way for me to show that to you is to share with you the most familiar passage of all of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It doesn't say will have, one day will experience. It's no, you've died. That old self is dead. It's been crucified with the Savior. You now have a new life. You're a new creature. And in that new life, it is eternal life. Eternal life with God the Father. That means that in Christ, we can live with confidence, knowing that our future is secure. In Christ, we can face any trial with courage, knowing that future glory awaits each and every one of God's children. It means that in Christ, we should allow that hope to shape our perspective on all of life's challenges as we come to a close in our text. I don't want to tarry very long with you this morning. I want the text to simply encourage you the way that it ought to. As we come to a close really soon, I want to ask you to embrace your freedom in Christ Jesus. And as you think about that, I want you to consider the life and the testimony of an ex-con. His name was Anthony Ray Hinton. Anthony was wrongfully convicted. He spent nearly three decades on death row in the state of Alabama. And during those years, confined to a small cell, isolated from the world in which he was ripped away from, with little hope of ever being released, in 2015, after evidence was produced that proved his innocence, he was finally exonerated and set free. But he had spent nearly three decades on death row. And so what he found was that adjusting to life outside of the prison walls was extremely challenging and difficult for him. The world in which he left had changed dramatically. And so Anthony had to learn how to live as a free man in a society that had moved on without him. Likewise, I share that with you because many believers have been set free from Christ's resurrection, but they still continue to live as though they're still in bondage, as they're still on death row. But you've been freed in and through Christ. So why is it that we still hold on to the past guilt? We still hold on to that shame. We still hold on to the constraints of our former selves, never fully embracing the freedom and the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus gives us a new position. We are raised with Him. His resurrection gives us a new focus. We're to seek what is above, the kingdom of God, rather than our personal desires. The resurrection of Jesus gives us a new identity. We are hidden with Him. The resurrection of Jesus gives us a new hope that we will be revealed in glory. And so maybe the simplest challenge I have for you this morning is for you to consider that the resurrection isn't just something you celebrate, it's something you live. Therefore, for the glory of God, for the strengthening of His church, embrace this and go live in the power of the resurrection of our Lord. Don't let the enemy discourage or frustrate you. Stop listening to the voices of others. Understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Receive that, embrace that, and allow that to radically change who you are and how you live. Ultimately, this is a message of encouragement to those that are in Christ Jesus. But I'm no fool. I recognize that not everybody that is here is in Christ Jesus. My prayer for you has been, is, and will continue to be that the Holy Spirit would move in your life, drawing you unto the Savior. And in cooperation with the Spirit of God, that you would understand your great need to be rescued from the penalty of your sin. And that you would cry out to God for the forgiveness. That you would commit yourself to live for Christ. And that you would find a church that you would get plugged into. That you would be encouraged and you would serve with other brothers and sisters in Christ for the glory of God and the strengthening of His church. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing through one more song. I'm going to be at the front. Other elders from the church will be here as well. We would love nothing more than to have the privilege to be able to pray with you should you desire. And so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude for the gift of your Son and the power of resurrection. Thank you for raising us with Christ and for granting us new life, not because of our own righteousness, but because of your grace and your mercy. Father, we confess that way too often we live beneath the reality of our resurrection identity. Way too often we focus on the things of this world, the temporary pursuits, the earthly worries, the fleeting pleasures, instead of seeking the things that are above. And so, God, forgive us for settling for less than the fullness of life that you have given to us through Christ. Today, we commit ourselves afresh to you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to set our minds on things that are above, on your kingdom, on your truth, on your purposes. Father, teach us to walk in the confidence and peace that comes from knowing that our lives are hidden with Christ in you. So let our choices, our attitudes, our priorities, let everything reflect the reality that we've been raised with Christ. And so when we face trials, remind us that the victory has already been won. When we experience moments or seasons of weakness and hardships, Father, fill us with the strength that comes from your resurrection power. God, when the world tries to define us, let us turn to your word and find our identity only in Christ, knowing that we are secure, loved, and held in your hands. Lord, we look forward to the day when Christ will be revealed in glory and we with him. And until that day, may we live as people of the resurrection, shining as witnesses of your grace and walking in the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you for the victory that's ours through his resurrection. Now, send us out to live as people who have truly been raised to a new life. We pray all of this in the powerful name of our risen Lord and Savior. Maranatha and amen.